It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Yesterday, Pittsburgh Mayor Luke Ravenstahl told reporters he's decided to leave the hiring of a new police chief to whoever the next mayor will be. All indications are it was a welcome announcement. Former Pittsburgh Police Chief Nate Harper resigned under pressure last month after the FBI began probing allegations of misappropriation of funds. For those not familiar with the procedure, the mayor has the authority to nominate a chief, who then has to be approved by the city council. So how should the city of Pittsburgh proceed in its search for the new head of a police department at the center of a federal investigation? I'm joined now by phone by former Pittsburgh Chief of Police Robert McNeely. He was the Pittsburgh Chief of Police from 1996 to 2006. He is currently the Elizabeth Township Chief of Police. Robert McNeely, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Oh, thanks for the invitation.
Also joining the conversation by phone is Daryl Stevens, Executive Director of the Major Cities Chiefs Association. Daryl Stevens, good to have you with us.
It's good to be with you, and it's good to hear Bob McNeely's voice.
If you have a comment or question for our guests, you can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is esspgh@wesa.fm, and you can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at hashtag EPLive. Robert McNeely, you were at a city council hearing last week providing your views on selecting a new chief. What do you think the selection criteria ought to be for finding a new chief of police in Pittsburgh?
Well, the first thing I recommended is that they wait until they got a new mayor in place, because I knew that whoever they hired as chief wouldn't even have a year to do their job, and that wasn't going to be enough time to adequately set the stage for what changes needed to be done. Secondly, after that, I think they needed to hire the Police Executive Research Forum. And the reason why I say that is because that's the group that they had hired in 1996 when they did the search that eventually led to me taking over as chief of police. I believe having a nationwide search, both in the department and outside the department, will provide some good candidates. Third, I think it's somebody that has to be accountable with integrity and respect. That's the motto of the police bureau, accountability, integrity, and respect. So people have to adhere to the motto itself. Next, I think that somebody had to ensure compliance with the consent decree, all the provisions of the consent decree, the policies, the training, the supervision, and even the discipline part of it. And that was my last part. It has to be somebody, it has to be a candidate who has experience with a large agency and has a history of employing appropriate disciplinary measures, somebody who's not afraid or too shy to take some appropriate disciplinary measures. It got to the point where even the union itself is saying that discipline was too lax within the department.
And let's talk about the consent decree in 1996, after the deaths of two African-American men in police custody. The ACLU and the NAACP filed a class action lawsuit against the Pittsburgh police, alleging a pattern of civil rights abuses. There was an investigation. The U.S. Justice Department joined the suit. And eventually what came out of that was the city, after that brief court challenge, the city entered into a consent decree with the federal government that outlined the steps it would take to improve its conduct. Tell us a little bit about what was recommended and what's in that decree.
Well, let me say, first of all, the deaths you're talking about actually weren't at the hands of Pittsburgh police officers. One was the Pittsburgh Housing Authority police officers, and the other one was a suburban police department that the traffic stop was eventually made inside the city of Pittsburgh limits, and that person died of positional asphyxia. But it's my understanding that the Pittsburgh officers came along after that had already occurred.
And then we're talking about the Johnny Gamage incident.
Yes,
here.
Yes, that was one of the incidents. I will say that when I took over as chief, there had already been 60-some lawsuits filed that were joined by the ACLU and the NAACP. And the lawsuits were for a variety of matters, usually dealing with what the allegation was of false arrest or excessive use of force. But the consent decree, the investigation, came just within a couple of months after me taking over as chief. And I provided the Department of Justice with my list of priorities of what I was going to do to make changes within the department. And as it ended up, after their investigation, they had taken all my initiatives and they incorporated them into the consent decree. So actually it was a very easy thing to make changes. And what they were, the changes were going to consist of several things. It was pretty extensive, actually. I think it was 43 different points that needed to be addressed. And it included all my investigations. It included training. It included policy reporting forms. And it also included proper supervision and discipline for certain matters.
So better training of officers, better supervision of police officers.
Yes. For example, supervisors actually had to get supervision training. And there had been a long period before I was chief where you had sergeants and lieutenants that were promoted, and they were never given, say, like POSIT training. That's police officer supervisor in service training or police executive training. And in fact, the officers coming on the job weren't even given field training, which is a 3-month period of training to get officers acclimated to work in the streets. It's a stepstone between the academy and actually working on their own. So there were a lot of things that were missing within the department at that time. We were trying to make those changes to bring it up to what was considered to be best practices.
So in what ways has the Bureau deviated from the consent decree?
Well, I'm not exactly sure because I haven't been there for 7 years, but I would suggest that when I hear that there were officers working at strip clubs, that was prohibited by policy when I was there. Either one of two things happened. Either they abandoned that policy or they allowed it to happen in lieu of the policy that was in place. So that's just totally outrageous. That should have never happened. But I think a lot of what the complaints I'm hearing from other people in the command staff were that disciplinary cases were being dismissed right and left. It could be something as minor as officers being out of uniform, working details, or it could have been something as major as officers threatening to assault other officers while they were on duty.
Darrell Stevens, in a situation like this with corruption allegations, is it best to look outside the Pittsburgh police force to find a new chief?
Well, that's normally the circumstances that you'll find cities going outside. There's a major investigation that has just completed or it's ongoing, concern about the confidence of from the public and the ability of people from within the organization to be able to take on the difficult challenges like Bob did when he became chief, even though he was from inside. But that's normally when they do go out. But what it doesn't mean that there's not people capable within the department. Then the search process, a good search process, should produce or should tell you whether you have someone inside the department that's capable of taking on these challenges and dealing with their long history in the department. There's both advantages and disadvantages to that, and it still comes down to trying to match the best person that you can possibly get, whether from inside or outside, to meet the challenges that the department has to overcome at the time.
What are the temptations, Mr. Stevens, for someone in a position like the chief of police that might compromise or lead that individual to doing things that compromise their integrity and the standards that all police, especially the chief, should be held to?
I don't know that the temptations is the right word. I think what happens to police chiefs in some circumstances is that they sometimes surround themselves with people who tell them what they want to hear, and they don't try to work to get those different perspectives. They don't try to stay connected with sources throughout the organization and throughout the community that will provide them good, honest feedback. So I think sometimes they become a little bit isolated and aren't hearing the things that they should hear to really understand what's going on in their organization and what their officers and people are doing out in the community. When they get into that position, they will do things. They think at times that they're really infallible, and they'll do things that turn out not to be good decisions and damage both the organizations and themselves.
Chief McNeely, I know that you've been away from the Pittsburgh Police Department for a number of years now, but to your best knowledge, do you think that there is corruption within the Bureau? And if so, how pervasive is it?
Well, let me say that obviously it appears that many things went wrong in the chief's office. And from promoting friends instead of promoting the most competent people, and I've been saying that for years. I've written a couple letters to the editor suggesting that. It seemed like people were going to the union to see who should get promoted. Well, a lot of times they want people promoted who will not be as firm on discipline. In fact, they took a no-confidence vote against me in 1998 because they said my discipline was too strict. But now the union is claiming discipline is too lax. But let me just say that I don't really think it extends far beyond what was in it, possibly in the chief's office or in a few other offices down there. And because I can tell you there were a lot of problems back in 1994, 1995, that we were living through, complaints from the community, there were lawsuits, there were citizens' complaints increasing. And if somebody had said back then, well, let's go outside the department because we can't find anybody inside the department, there are actually a lot of good candidates inside the department. And I'm not just referring to me who got promoted, but there was Charles Moffitt, who's now the superintendent of the county police. There was Bill Mullen, who's now the Allegheny County Sheriff. So there were many competent people. And I think it would have been a slight to those of us in the department to suggest that everybody was bad, just as much as I suggest now that to imply that is just wrong. There's a lot of good people in that department. There's a lot of good people in that command staff. In fact, there are people in that command staff that have been screaming for years about the way things are going wrong. And my wife is one of them. She's written many memos. She was demoted because she was a whistleblower back in 1997. She had to sue to get her job back. So there are people in the department that are capable of doing a good job that have been trying to right the ship, even though they saw that it was heading in a different direction.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we're speaking with former Pittsburgh Police Chief and current Elizabeth Township Chief of Police Robert McNeely and Daryl Stevens, Executive Director of the Major Cities Association, about the search for a new police chief in the city of Pittsburgh. If you have a comment or question or would simply like to join the conversation, we'd like to hear from you. 412-246-2002, the number to call. That's 412-246-2002. We'll continue on Essential Pittsburgh here on 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Yesterday, Pittsburgh Mayor Luke Ravenstahl told reporters he's decided to leave the hiring of a new police chief to whoever the next mayor will be. All indications are it was a welcome announcement. Former Pittsburgh Police Chief Nate Harper resigned under pressure last month after the FBI began probing allegations of misappropriation of funds. For those not familiar with the procedure, the mayor has the authority to nominate a chief, who then has to be approved by the city council. So how should the city of Pittsburgh proceed in its search for the new head of a police department at the center of a federal investigation? I'm joined now by phone by former Pittsburgh Chief of Police Robert McNeely. He was the Pittsburgh Chief of Police from 1996 to 2006. He is currently the Elizabeth Township Chief of Police. Robert McNeely, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Oh, thanks for the invitation.
Also joining the conversation by phone is Daryl Stevens, Executive Director of the Major Cities Chiefs Association. Daryl Stevens, good to have you with us.
It's good to be with you, and good to hear Bob McNeely's voice.
If you have a comment or question for our guests, you can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is esspgh@wesa.fm, and you can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Robert McNeely, you were at a city council hearing last week providing your views on selecting a new chief. What do you think the selection criteria ought to be for finding a new chief of police in Pittsburgh?
Well, the first thing I recommended is that they wait until they got a new mayor in place, because I knew that whoever they hired as chief wouldn't even have a year to do their job, and that wasn't going to be enough time to adequately set the stage for what changes needed to be done. Secondly, after that, I think they needed to hire the police executive research forum. And the reason why I say that is because that's the group that they had hired in 1996 when they did the search that eventually led to me taking over as chief of police. I believe having a nationwide search, both in the department and outside the department, will provide some good candidates. Third, I think it's somebody that has to be accountable with integrity and respect. That's the motto of the police bureau, accountability, integrity, and respect. So people have to adhere to the motto itself. Next, I think that somebody had to ensure compliance with the consent decree, all the provisions of the consent decree, the policies, the training, the supervision, and even the discipline part of it. And that was my last part. It has to be somebody, it has to be a candidate who has experience with a large agency and has a history of employing appropriate disciplinary measures, somebody who's not afraid or too shy to take some appropriate disciplinary measures. It got to the point where even the union itself is saying that discipline was too lax within the department.
And let's talk about the consent decree. In 1996, after the deaths of two African-American men in police custody, the ACLU and the NAACP filed a class action lawsuit against the Pittsburgh police, alleging a pattern of civil rights abuses. There was an investigation. The U.S. Justice Department joined the suit. And eventually what came out of that was the city, after that brief court challenge, the city entered into a consent decree with the federal government that outlined the steps it would take to improve its conduct. Tell us a little bit about what was recommended and what's in that decree.
Well, let me say, first of all, the deaths you're talking about actually weren't at the hands of Pittsburgh police officers. One was the Pittsburgh Housing Authority police officers, and the other one was a suburban police department that the traffic stop was eventually made inside the city of Pittsburgh limits, and that person died of positional asphyxia. But it's my understanding that the Pittsburgh officers came along after that had already occurred.
And then we're talking about the Johnny Gamage incident.
Yes,
here.
Yes, that was one of the incidents. I will say that when I took over as chief, there had already been 60-some lawsuits filed that were joined by the ACLU and the NAACP. And the lawsuits were for a variety of matters, usually dealing with what the allegation was of false arrest or excessive use of force. But the consent decree, the investigation, came just within a couple of months after me taking over as chief. And I provided the Department of Justice with my list of priorities of what I was going to do to make changes within the department. And as it ended up, after their investigation, they had taken all my initiatives and they incorporated them into the consent decree. So actually, it was a very easy thing to make changes. And what they were, the changes were going to consist of several things. It was pretty extensive, actually. I think it was 43 different points that needed to be addressed. And it included all my investigations. It included training. It included policy, reporting forms. And it also included proper supervision and discipline for certain matters.
So better training of officers, better supervision of police officers.
Yes. For example, supervisors actually had to get supervision training. And there had been a long period before I was chief where you had sergeants and lieutenants that were promoted, and they were never given, say, like POSIT training. That's police officer supervisory and service training or police executive training. And in fact, the officers coming on the job weren't even given field training, which is a three-month period of training to get officers acclimated to work in the streets. It's a stepstone between the academy and actually working on their own. So there were a lot of things that were missing within the department at that time. We were trying to make those changes to bring it up to what was considered to be best practices.
And so in what ways has the Bureau deviated from the consent decree?
Well, I'm not exactly sure because I haven't been there for 7 years, but I would suggest that when I hear that there were officers working at strip clubs, that was prohibited by policy when I was there. Either one of two things happened. Either they abandoned that policy or they allowed it to happen in lieu of the policy that was in place. So that's just totally outrageous. That should have never happened. But I think a lot of what the complaints I'm hearing from other people in the command staff were that disciplinary cases were being dismissed right and left. It could be something as minor as officers being out of uniform, working details, or it could have been something as major as officers threatening to assault other officers while they were on duty.
Darrell Stevens, in a situation like this with corruption allegations, is it best to look outside the Pittsburgh police force to find a new chief?
Well, that's normally the circumstances that you'll find cities going outside, is a major investigation that has just completed or it's ongoing, concern about the confidence of from the public on, and the ability of people from within the organization to be able to take on the difficult challenges like Bob did when he became chief, even though he was from inside. But that's normally when they do go out. But what it doesn't mean that there's not people capable within the department. Then the search process, a good search process, should produce or should tell you whether you have someone inside the department that's capable of taking on these challenges and dealing with their long history in the department. There's both advantages and disadvantages to that, and it still comes down to trying to match the best person that you can possibly get, whether from inside or outside, to meet the challenges that the department has to overcome at the time.
What are the temptations, Mr. Stevens, for someone in a position like the chief of police that might compromise or lead that individual to doing things that compromise their integrity and the standards that all police, especially the chief, should be held to?
I don't know that the temptations is the right word. I think what happens to police chiefs in some circumstances is that they sometimes surround themselves with people who tell them what they want to hear, and they don't try to work to get those different perspectives. They don't try to stay connected with sources throughout the organization and throughout the community that will provide them good, honest feedback. So I think sometimes they become a little bit isolated and aren't hearing the things that they should hear to really understand what's going on in their organization and what their officers and people are doing out in the community. When they get into that position, they will do things. They think at times that they're really infallible, and they'll do things that turn out not to be good decisions and damage both the organizations and themselves.
Chief McNeely, I know that you've been away from the Pittsburgh Police Department for a number of years now, but to your best knowledge, do you think that there is corruption within the Bureau? And if so, how pervasive is it?
Well, let me say that obviously it appears that many things went wrong in the chief's office. And from promoting friends instead of promoting the most competent people, and I've been saying that for years. I've written a couple letters to the editor suggesting that. It seemed like people were going to the union to see who should get promoted. Well, a lot of times they want people promoted who will not be as firm on discipline. In fact, they took a no-confidence vote against me in 1998 because they said my discipline was too strict. But now the union is claiming discipline is too lax. But let me just say that I don't really think it extends far beyond what was in it, possibly in the chief's office or in a few other offices down there. And because I can tell you there were a lot of problems back in 1995, 1994, 95 that we were living through, complaints from the community, there were lawsuits, there were citizens' complaints increasing. And if somebody had said back then, well, let's go outside the department because we can't find anybody inside the department, there are actually a lot of good candidates inside the department. And I'm not just referring to me who got promoted, but there was Charles Moffitt, who's now the superintendent of the county police. There was Bill Mullen, who's now the Allegheny County Sheriff. So there were many competent people. And I think it would have been a slight to those of us in the department to suggest that everybody was bad, just as much as I suggest now that to imply that is just wrong. There's a lot of good people in that department. There's a lot of good people in that command staff. In fact, there are people in that command staff that have been screaming for years about the way things are going wrong. And my wife is one of them. She's written many memos. She was demoted because she was a whistleblower back in 1997. She had to sue to get her job back. So there are people in the department that are capable of doing a good job that have been trying to right the ship, even though they saw that it was heading in a different direction.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we're speaking with former Pittsburgh Police Chief and current Elizabeth Township Chief of Police Robert McNeely and Daryl Stevens, Executive Director of the Major Cities Association, about the search for a new police chief in the city of Pittsburgh. If you have a comment or question, or would simply like to join the conversation, we'd like to hear from you. 412-246-2002, the number to call. That's 412-246-2002. We'll continue on Essential Pittsburgh here on 90.5 WESA.